mystery, adventure, romance is presented to you by this station at this time and the stories especially selected for our audience by Edwin Balmer, the distinguished editor of Red Book magazine. When Editor Balmer selected this humorous story, England Yet Shall Stand, he told us that Frederick Hazlitt Brennan was a star reporter on a St. Louis newspaper when he began to write short stories which made him a favorite of readers all over the country. He has the reporter's quick grasp of a situation and also a most pleasing sense of humor. He recently visited England, and he tells you something of what he saw and felt there in this gay satire, England Yet Shall Stand. Breakfast in the home of Horace Sandridge. Porridge, bacon and eggs, kidneys, cold toast, bloaters and tea, and a copy of the London Times. Mrs. Sandridge looked worried, and Horace Sandridge looked over the rim of his spectacles.
Nasty morning. And I've a ghastly day ahead of me, too. Advisory council meeting today.
Anything wrong with your business, my dear?
The pen business has declined. But it's that confounded Yankee Winters. All his gabble about American methods. He's the cause of all the trouble.
You mean that young man, John Winters?
I do. Blasted nuisance. Orson Grimsby, the junior partners, insisted on taking him on. Downright disloyal of them, a gabbling Yankee in Sandridge Limited.
But he seemed a rather nice sort.
Oh, blighter. Modernization. Fiddlesticks. Well, we'll see at the meeting today. Now let him have his say. Then I'll say a word or two.
I was going to tell you, Horace. Constance seems to like Mr. Winters.
I thought I told her not to accept the fellow's attention. I wonder the beastly beggar doesn't try to call on her here.
But he did, Horace. They went out together last evening. And Constance didn't get home till most 3 o'clock.
What? He has to force his attentions on his employer's daughter, does he? I'll show him. And I'll put a stop to it. I won't have my daughter running about with that Yankee. I won't have it.
Won't have what, Father?
Yeah, it's about time you came to breakfast. I won't have you and that dashed American chap, John Winters.
Oh, we went to the White Horse Inn last night. Awfully good show.
Indeed.
I'm afraid we were rather late getting home. You see, Jack had a puncture.
Jack?
And... of course, John Winters. We all call him Jack. And...
well, by Jove, that fellow's Yankee impudence is enough to...
No, Father, dear, don't be like that. I mean, you aren't so fearfully angry now, are you?
I don't want you to see anything more of Winters.
Why shouldn't I see Jack? He's been awfully decent.
Your father's wishes in the matter should be sufficient.
Well, that's rather unfair, isn't it? I haven't observed anything in Jack's behavior to warrant such an attitude on your part.
I want you to drop the fellow, that's all.
But, Father, what has Jack done? Is it something about the business?
We shan't discuss it. I'm going to the office.
Bunbury. Oh, Bunbury.
Coming, sir. Coming, sir.
You have Sims bring the car around at once.
Yes, sir.
Miss Hilton.
Good morning.
The advisory council ready?
The committee is in the conference room, sir. And a Mr. Levy is here to see you, sir.
Right you are. Mr. Sandridge, sir.
Eh?
Would it be possible for me to attend the conference, Mr. Sandridge? I have some ideas on reorganization.
It will not be possible, Mr. Levy.
Oh, but I say...
you may wait in the reception room here. Or I will send for you when we reach a decision.
I'll wait.
Now then, we'll see about this conference. Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Mr. Orson.
Good morning, sir.
Mr. Grimsby.
Good morning, sir.
I'm happy to see you, Mr. Blandford. How are you, sir? Are there, Sir Hugh?
Beastly day, Horace.
Devilish. Now then, gentlemen, let's get to the business in hand.
Right you are. Don't you think, Mr. Sandy...
What's that, Mr. Orson?
We were thinking, sir, that it might be well to have Mr. Levy in. Hardly politic to antagonize him, since he represents dissatisfied bondholders.
I think we shan't need him in. Send for Mr. Winters.
I'll ring him.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Mr. Sandwich. You ready for my report, sir?
I am. Gentlemen, Let me introduce our advertisement expert, who has, I believe, some ideas concerning the future procedure of our company.
Well, I don't suppose we need spend any time on statements. The firm has been losing money since April 1929. You gentlemen have all seen the figures, I believe.
Yes, sir.
Okay, then let's get to the point. Now then, this firm is absolutely okay when it comes to quality. You're using much better steel than anyone else.
Good.
Now then, here's this fountain pen. Sandwich's Old Reliable. Now, it's a good pen. It'll doubtless give better service than any fountain pen on the market.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is the sort of pen buyers want nowadays. This German-made pen I have here. Thin and made of imitation onyx.
Green and yellow with a black band? Great, Scott, man.
But there are other color combinations, Mr. Sandwich. The idea is that your pens and pencils lack visual attraction, see?
Rather a gaudy gadget, isn't it?
Lacks dignity.
But Mr. Winters is right. The Germans have been doing splendidly in the South American trade and in the colonies.
You see, gentlemen, it's the color that gets the business.
Yes, interesting, yes. And now what's the complaint about our pencil?
Oh, no complaint, sir. I'm only making suggestions.
Proceed, sir.
Maybe we'd better take up your sales promotion problems next, and your displays.
As you like.
Now, here's this box of Sandwich pencils. Seems to me the box is rather unattractive. Gray cardboard and rather badly printed. It doesn't catch the eye, you see. Now, here's this pencil box that's been very successful with the American Scripcraft people.
American Scripcraft? Nah.
The swell display, Mr. Sandwich. Red, white, and blue to catch the eye. And then this nifty slogan, a lifetime supply.
How many pencils does that box hold?
4 dozen.
Do you consider that a lifetime supply, Mr. Winters?
Well, perhaps not. Though it'll depend on how many pencils a consumer uses.
This company, Mr. Winters, has never misled a customer, nor shall it do so as long as it bears the Sandridge name.
Yeah, yeah.
But Mr. Winters didn't mean we should use the American slogan on our box, Mr. Sandridge. He proposes we make our box more colorful and pleasing for the customer.
It's a matter of advertising, Mr. Sandridge. Now, here's this newspaper ad of yours. A picture of a pen and the slogan, History has been written with Sandridge pens.
A dignified slogan, I think.
But look at this Canadian advertising. A beautiful girl writing a love letter with a fountain pen. And this is a swell line. For words that mustn't falter, Walton's pen. A little pen that packs a big message. That's a great spread.
I really don't see why.
It catches the eye. The three-color reproduction is a wallop in itself. The cutie using the pen looks dainty and attracts the notice of masculine readers.
I should say she was a bit vulgar in that negligee. What?
That's right, Sir Hugh. Quite right.
But the idea is to catch attention.
May I venture a word, Mr. Winters? Thank you so much. All that you say is very interesting, no doubt. But I fear you've been laboring under a misconception.
Well, I'm sorry, sir. I don't see...
Pardon me. This company, Mr. Winters, has made its way for over a century by business methods which exemplify the finest traditions of British commercial enterprise.
Well, I know that, sir, but...
This house has never stooped to deception, to the sensational, to all the highly amusing chicanery which our certain other countries have foisted on the public. Do I make myself quite clear?
I guess you do.
But see how, Mr. Sandridge, something has to be done. The company can't go on like this. Our bondholders are threatening foreclosure.
Gentlemen,
and...
these are days that try men's souls. Men must stand by sacred principles in times like this.
But our competitors are beating us out, sir. I think Mr. Winters is right. We'll have to play their game.
I don't propose to play anybody's game. Tawdry and sensational business methods, gentlemen, should be abhorrent to every right-thinking Englishman.
Yeah, I say
let the competition come. England has a way of muddling through somehow. English businessmen must stand firm.
Splendid.
How better could it be stated than by repeating the stirring words of the Honorable Philip Snowden to Parliament. Come the world against her, England yet shall stand.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that lets me out.
But Mr. Levy is waiting out there to get a report for the bondholders' committee.
I shall attend to that, gentlemen. I shall tell him business with Sandridge Limited will go on as usual.
But how are you going to meet the depression, Mr. Sandridge?
Like a gentleman, sir.
Oh, I see. Well, I'll be in my office.
Isn't that like an American to rush off like that? Without so much as a respectful good day. I have a mind to sack the fellow.
I'm sorry to walk in like this, Mr. Sandridge, but may I have a word? It's important.
I have nothing to say, my man.
Listen here now, Mr. Sandridge. I just met young Winters in the outer office, and he says that you refuse to change your policy.
I don't believe I shall discuss it with you.
Very well, then. I shall begin action to have this company declared bankrupt.
What?
We shall allow you until next Monday to meet the interest. Good day, Mr. Sandridge.
By Jove, what impudence. Gentlemen, if you please. I wish to be alone a moment. Good day. On the way out, will you kindly stop at Winter's office and tell the fellow to report to me? Thank you, Mr. Walker.
Not at all.
Mr. Grimsby. Mr. Blandford.
Yes,
you.
Right.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Good morning.
You sent for me, Mr. Sandridge?
Hello, Father.
Constance, what are you doing here?
I came to Jack's office to meet him for lunch.
I wasn't aware I'd given you permission to see Mr. Winters again.
Father, please. And Jack was
telling me... It seems, Mr. Winters, that you have been talking also with Mr. Levy. I must demand that you see no more of my daughter. And I have decided to dispense with your services in this company. We'll leave at once, my man.
Father! Oh, this is outrageous.
Oh, I'll leave your company, Mrs. Sandridge, but I'm going to see a great deal of your daughter.
Nay?
In fact, I'm going to marry her.
What?
Father, Jack wants to be your friend, please.
Is what he says true?
I love him, and I'm going to marry him. Yes, it was I who asked him to talk with Mr. Levy, too. And you need Jack's advice. If you weren't so stubborn and prejudiced, Father, you'd say
that you... I don't care to see either of you again. You may go. Get out, sir. She'll be sorry later. That Yankee bounder. I can't bother with her troubles now. Where's that telephone? Marion, indeed. Get me the office of Griggs Limited. Righto. We'll see about this depression. Hello. Are you there, Mr. Griggs? Horace Sandridge speaking. Yes. I've just been thinking I'd reconsider selling you my estate in Scotland. Righto. Yes, immediately. I must have the money in my office by Monday. Thank you. Righto. It will be lonely without the girl. I'll save the business in spite of that winter scoundrel. So England yet shall stand.
Red Book Magazine gave us special permission to broadcast this humorous story, England Yet Shall Stand, by Frederick Hazlitt Brennan. Next week at this same time, we take pleasure in announcing that we will present another story in dramatic form from Red Book Magazine.